Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Every week, we try to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, intelligence, humor, and progressive persuasion. Brian's concept of less is more, more or less, always left us wanting more. And more is the word of the day during the Give Big campaign. Support our local island nonprofits by giving more and giving big. Let's just jump in right away with friends old and new. I'll introduce a few people. Sitting beside me and engineering the show is my friend, flight instructor, Vachon Airport Commissioner, West Texas Roughneck, and Eastern Montana band member, former Army Intelligence Officer, and fellow treetop flyer, just to say a few things.
Whoa, man, this is getting longer every day. I'm not sure what we're going to do.
I got to tell them who you are. Truman O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
Good morning, Truman.
Good morning.
We're also joined here for a change in the studio
live
by the defender of democracy, Kevin Jones of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, who collectively strive to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
You do, and we're happy that you do.
I am so happy to be here.
All right. Great to see you in person. And we also have in person historian extraordinaire, skipper of the Vashona, and president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, also party animal.
Yeah, indeed.
Extraordinary.
And our own globetrotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman. How you doing, Bruce?
Hey, good to be here. It just strikes me that we're competing with Click and Clack, the Tappet brothers, to see how many things we can have at the end of the show about who we each are.
Don't drive like my brother. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, former repo man, Pinkerton guard of Pan Am's first 747, which I never lost. High fashion shoe salesman, constitutional law professor, two-time Halfbright scholar, and former proud president of VAA's board of directors, now known as VCA. And because Voice of Vachon is the Give Big hub of love, the Brown Briefly is hosting two island nonprofits today. We will have Lynanne Polite, gallery director, and Wendy Finkelman, Education Center Director of the Vachon Center for the Arts, in just a minute or two. And then Charlotte Tinkin from the Vachon Repertory Theater at 11:30.
Except we do have a talent change for today.
Yes.
Sorry.
No worries. I'm Joy Galeri, and I'm stepping in for Wendy. She's got a sick kid at home. So
there were a few changes there. I thought I was keeping up, but I obviously am not.
We're trying to keep you on your toes.
We did not disclose
good luck.
That detail yet.
All right. Let's see. Oh, before we do, we'll go through our regular what did we do quickly this week. And let me start out with you, Truman. Anything exciting happened in your neck of the woods?
Actually, yeah. I got a phone call from the marina that says, Truman, your boat's sinking. I said, what?
Seriously.
So
was it sinking?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's almost like your airplane crashing.
Well, almost. Not quite the same. No, so I raced down there, and luckily Scotty and Dan had... What had happened, by the way, is the power cord that goes from the dock to the boat failed. And I wasn't aware of it. I haven't been able to, for the last year, I haven't been able to walk because of my back. So I'd not used the boat for a year. And the power cord failed. The battery ran down. The boat filled up with water, rainwater. And by the time I got down there, they already had it pumped out. But then I checked my batteries, and they were 10 years old. So I said, well, I guess I got to spend a little money. So anyway, I got new batteries, and that's next.
So is this a situation when the batteries run down, the bilge pumps don't work, and the boat fills up with water? Is that what we're hearing?
That's what you're hearing. Yep. And luckily, I did have another cable, so I got that all hooked up. The battery charge is working, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm afraid it's going to cost me some money. You know what boat stands for? Break out another 1,000. There it is. Okay. Yes. All right, so that was my week.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Kevin, how about you?
Well, my boat got off the dock, actually. It's been a little
while. Well, shouldn't have been on the dock.
it took all of us to work together to get it. It is boating season. It's also bicycling season, so that's kind of awesome to see a warmer weather. And I've been out before now, but, when it's like 38, 40 degrees, you arrive like you're a frostsicle. So
right. This
is much nicer. But the other one thing that I do want to say is I'm liking the sound of Governor Ferguson.
I'm
liking the sound of Governor Ferguson.
Okay, that's right. Our current governor did announce.
Jay's been making the rounds. I'm not quite sure what Jay's plans are, but he's been on CNN, MSNBC, something's big cooking. Mm-hmm. But he said, yes, he's going to step down from the governorship, from the governator of Washington. And we know that Bob Ferguson has got his name in the ring. He's asking all of his previous donors to make sure that money that they supported him for attorney general can be used for his exploratory look at the race for governor. So if you're a Ferguson fan, now's the time to recognize he's up.
Oh, okay. That's news, that's for sure. Bruce, how about you?
Oh, an exciting week as always, but to keep the boat theme going, I finally took the winter covers off the boat this week, which is always a big step, which usually happens in early March, but this year, no way. So now we've got to get the boat cleaned up, but at least the winter covers are off, ready for summer.
Yay.
Wow.
And the other exciting thing is this summer in July at the museum, we're going to have a minor, small exhibit, special exhibit on the Vashon Hydros.
Oh, cool.
We actually discovered Roger Stanley, who lives in Quartermaster Harbor, who won the first Vashon Hydro race, actually has his original hydro.
Yeah.
8 foot long, about 4 foot wide. And so we're going to have that in the museum and then a small display based on Brian Breno's book about the hydro.
Great bit of Vashon lore. Oh.
And we're going to have Roger and his hydro in the parade.
Yay, all right.
So an exciting week.
That's exciting.
Truman, can we get our crashed airplane in the parade?
We probably could, but we'd probably have to buy the darn thing back.
Oh, that'd be fun.
We could put a big poster of it up or something.
I know.
You took great photographs of it. So,
Lynanne, what about you? What did you do this last week? Probably busy, huh?
Well, I don't have a boat.
No boat.
I don't have a boat. Sorry. I'm in the midst of installing a new show. It's first Friday coming up. So
right.
Monday and Tuesday, within one day of Monday, I literally uninstall. Well, we all uninstall a show and then bring in new art. And I just left because we were starting to lay it all out, and we'll hang it, and we'll be ready by Thursday evening. So that's that's my.
I look forward to that.
Oh, but the last weekend, I just have to say real quick, if you want, is I went on my first long-term motorcycle trip. I was in the back of a motorcycle, and we 400 miles down the scenic route, down no crashes.
So you couldn't see the writing on the back of your partner's jacket that says if you can read this,
you're too close.
She's falling off.
I haven't heard that one. Anyways, it was beautiful. So that was exciting. So that
Lovely.
Was the weekend.
But that's a big deal. You had a beautiful weekend for it.
Yeah, but you still hit rain somewhere.
That's true.
Going Joy, far enough.
Joy, were you prepared for this question?
I had all of you talking about yours to think about mine.
Okay.
So I had time to prepare. I have had a good week so far. I had lovely, fun times in the sun over the weekend. And then yesterday I got to last minute sub on a little kid's theater class, which I always love.
Boy.
Working with the kids, and then just this month in general, we're ramping up. I teach theater and dance at VCA, and we're ramping up for our partnership show with Drama Doc for musical theater. So that's coming up soon. And then 2 weeks after that, we've got our dance show. So
excellent.
It's going to be a busy month for me, but I'm feeling good about it.
Oh, that's good.
Diving into preparations.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a boat either.
Yeah, you have mine.
That's true. Why do I need a boat?
I get the call. You know, hey, what are we doing this afternoon? Yeah. Going boating? Oh, yeah.
No, we're trying to get the boat running.
Yeah, we're trying to get it cleaned up. Yeah.
Actually, everybody on Vashon has a boat.
That's right.
It's called the Vashon. It's called the Washington State
Ferry. That's right. It is our boat.
Same question.
And the same answer. We're trying to get it running.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the same issues.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I had a boat, but I sold it.
Yeah.
I'm the lucky one.
Yeah. Hey, I have to tell you, though, you're talking about hanging a show.
Yes.
My daughter's a professional photographer, and I've hung many of her shows.
Yes.
And I feel for you.
Oh.
It is a huge job. Planning it is probably harder than actually hanging it. But
well, this show has 20 artists, so wow. That was corralling. But I had a co-curator, June Sakaguchi. It's API month, Asia Pacific month. And so we did a specific one. I brought in, like I said, a co-curator, and we're going to have it on theme with the month. So it opens Friday. Yes, it's a big job.
Fun.
My week, basically, Heritage Museum Gala, which I was missed talking about last week, had a ball there, fabulous gathering. Because I was doing some bar hearing officer training for disbarring my fellow bar members. And I had spent the better part of yesterday at the dentist.
Oh.
And I can still speak, maybe with a little bit of a stutter. Quickly, today in history. Today is Tuesday, May 2nd, and it's the 122nd day of the year. 243 days left until the end of the year. There are 73 days left before we reach the warm, sunny days of the Strawberry Festival, which starts on July 14th. In 1892, Manfred Baron von Richthofen, the Red Baron, Germany's top aviator and leading ace in World War I, was born in Breslau, Germany, which is now in Poland because that border keeps moving back and forth and back and forth. In 1803, the United States purchased the Louisiana Territory for less than 3 cents an acre. Pretty good deal for 828,000 square miles. In 1519, Leonardo da Vinci died. Prolific artist and inventor. He died in Cluj, France. Today is National Brother and Sisters Day, National Teachers Appreciation Day, National Baby Day. And National Play Your Ukulele Day.
All right.
So
I wish I'd have known that. I'd have brought my ukulele.
I would have brought mine too.
Yeah,
I know.
There we go.
I know.
You
could have been serenaded here.
Exactly. All right. With that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Kevin, and you can talk to the representatives of Vashon Center for the Arts, Leanne and Joy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you, Leanne and Joy, for being here today to talk about the Vashon Center for the Arts. I would love for you to remind our listeners about the great work you're doing at the Vashon Center for the Arts and what you see as the greatest opportunity for VCA in the next year or two.
You want me to start?
Yeah, go for it.
So we have five program areas, and so it's not a simple answer in the sense that we have five. So I'll speak to two of them, the performing arts and the gallery, which is housed in the K Hall and then on our campus. And then Joy can talk about the three programs over at the Blue Heron Education Center, which is our Vashon Artisan Schools and our dance and our arts ed. So the opportunities we have really is to continue for the gallery, is to continue doing what I do, which is really balance a lot of different shows with both off-island shows and shows with a message, like the one we have now, bringing talent from the Pacific Northwest into the gallery, and also servicing our Vashon artists themselves. And the way that I do that with the Vashon artists, they have their own shows. They show solo shows or group shows. I also host Viva show, member show. We started doing that during the pandemic, which, if you all know, Vashon Island Visual Artists. It's a collective of artists on the island, and they do the studio tour. We also are part of the studio tour, which, by the way, is also this weekend and next weekend.
Right, it's going on right now, isn't
yeah,
it?
This weekend they're already. And then we also host, I also host Summer Arts Fest. And Summer Arts Fest is July and August. I turn the shows even faster over there, Truman, every 3 weeks instead of every 4 weeks. And the artists are all Vashon, and it gives them, we do little mini galleries. So it gives emerging artists, or I just met yesterday an artist that just moved to the island. I said, if you want to meet other artists and you want to show, so they get a length of wall or space in the floor. And so it's like little mini galleries. Also, I have seasoned artists that want to kind of showcase some new work. So that's how we service those. And then for the off-islanders is doing various shows. I've also... this show, like I just started to mention too, about the this month is bringing in some themed that starts conversations. This one's about it's called Scanning the Room, and it's about how people of color, and this one focuses on Asian Americans, when they walk in a room, they sort of scan to see what might be safe or not safe. And a lot of people don't know that that's something that's sort of a safety mechanism that people of color. And sometimes women may do it if it's in a predominantly male environment. But it's called, it's sort of just what I consider art being is starting conversations about sometimes difficult topics. The Performance Hall is going to continue to also expand its diversity. That's part of our theme, and also bring fabulous music. As you all know, we had Graham Nash. We've had Ladysmith. I forget their full name, but you know who I mean. But anyway, we're going to expand that, bringing great music so you don't have to go into Seattle and take a ferry and also spend all that time. We're also committed to the kids, bringing in things for free for kids under 18. All of our Talk on the Rocks, the kids are under 18, are for free. We had some programs last week. In fact, we had Mukai, collaborated with Mukai, and had a performance about the internment. The afternoon performance had 7th and 8th graders. They came over during the day for free. And we also had... from Harbor School, there was a group of kids from the art with Alisar Martin. Alisar Martin brought them over for our Talk on the Rocks. And then on Thursday, we had a lot of very funny, squirmy little K through 3 or 3rd graders come over and see the performance.
Owen and MZ.
Owen and MZ. And that was 300 5, 6, 7-year-olds. Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Allison came out and she was like, oh, my God, they're so squirmy. And she was squirming all over. They were just so squirmy, but they loved it. And so we continue to really support that. Plus, we have, when I show that hall, and this will probably be my segue to Joy, I show the hall and when people come in and I say, and this is where our dancers do the Nutcracker. I mean, we have the most amazing, beautiful facility that these dancers who are, you know, anywhere from 3?
Yeah, 3.
Up to the adults. dance on this, you know, beautiful stage. And so it's just such a great facility and watching that. And so that's my segue to what Joy's doing over at the other part of us.
Yeah, so I mean, I could go on and on about how awesome it is that our students have access to such awesome facilities. I've been in theater and performing in many different areas when I was growing up. I did not always have access to such awesome facilities, so it's really cool that our kids have that. But yeah, so we have 3 programs over at the Arts Center, over at the Blue Heron. That's our home for education. So we have Arts Ed, and Arts Ed has some subgroups of our musical theater program that we have in partnership with Drama Doc. And then we also have visual arts education and music education. And then we have our dance program, and we offer dance classes for everyone ages 3 to adult. And we offer ballet classes and tap and jazz and contemporary and all sorts of dance. And we employ... I think over 70 teaching artists throughout the year, and we serve close to, I think, 500 students.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just really awesome to be able to be a part of that and educating the kids and the adults. And then we have our Vashon Artists in Schools program, which is run by Stephanie. And she coordinates with artists on island, and occasionally will bring artists from off island to go into the schools and teach workshops in theater and dance and visual arts. And I think that that's a really important part of the accessibility element of our programming in education. Not every child has the ability, or not every parent has the ability, to get their kids to and from after school classes, but every kid who goes to school can access the arts through artisan schools. So I think that that's really important work too.
That sounds really great that you not only bring kids into the Vashon Center for the Arts, right, but you also outreach to the school. How do kids who are in school right now connect with those programs? Do they reach out to you at VCA, or do they reach out to people in the schools?
Yeah, so Stephanie sends out at the beginning of the year, she puts together this list of teaching artists and what they can teach, and sends it out to instructors in the classroom with the district. And then the teachers will go through and see which instructors, which artists could maybe partner with them with some of the curriculum that they're teaching to have a residency.
Right.
And then Steph will kind of coordinate that. And the artists can either be a one-time residency, and they come in one and done, or it can be over a period of several weeks.
Excellent.
The other thing about accessibility is that we have been really fortunate of having such a supportive community and have a nice, healthy scholarship fund. So while we, during the outreach into the schools, and this is another thing we want to continue, is really no child is turned away for any lack of funds. We always have the work in whatever way, and we have the funding and that's in our auction, which we'll all come back for that one. Everybody has their auction. Ours in September. But when we have a Raise the Paddle to raise for our scholarship, we found that our community, this community, is so supportive of that. So when you say what's going on in the future, we just want to continue to be that. We build community through the arts, you know, and so it's a center for community building, for arts education, for conversation. It is really, that's what we want to just continue to be, both through the gallery, through art exhibitions, through the performances, and through our three programs of education. And as Joy said, you know, anybody can be an artist at any age. We can start three, and you can start any time and do anything, and we have some really welcoming environment for people to everybody's an artist. As far as I'm concerned, you just got to find where your art is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one thing that particularly Lynn Ann is the VCA gallery director.
Yeah.
And you mentioned already the Scanning the Room, yeah, which features artists with Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander backgrounds or cultures. I'm curious, Lynn Ann, what is your vision for how art can advance cultural values, and how do you see VCA leading in that effort?
Well, I'll speak specifically to the gallery, if that's the case. As I said, art starts a conversation. You know, there's a lot of art that is art. Art has a lot of visual art, is what I'm mm-hmm. speaking, but also performing arts, spoken word, theater. Is that it resonates with different people in different ways. And sometimes it's just sheer entertainment, you know, and sometimes it's just sheer beauty. Other time it starts a conversation. But as far as cultural and justice, I think it's bringing in these artists, it's bringing a voice to a population that might not otherwise be served. It starts a conversation, and when a viewer sees it, they might be curious, they might like it, they might not like it, but I think that it doesn't untouch. I had a recent exhibition, I don't know if you all made it, called Choice, and it was artist response to the reversal of Roe versus Wade. It was during March, during Women's Month. I also, it had a huge 15-foot woven with stainless steel, but woven suspending uterus with ovarian tube. I don't know if you guys saw that, and you can crawl in it. It's like rebirthing. It was a jungle gym, big with the kids. It was very, very popular with the kids. And the moms were just looking, going, oh, my God, this is so funny. The thing about this particular show in particular is that I think it's bringing, I want to bring light to the fact that in particular Asian Americans have been targeted during the pandemic by unjustifiably being blamed for COVID, which is crazy. And we all know where that started. And they have felt it and they know it. And I think it's bringing them. They're going to, so there's just this real, critical mass of all of them together, having that many number of artists together. I did it during Black History Month, bringing black artists that are usually not, maybe not shown or new shown, but also just to have us as a predominantly white community see that art expression is done in a lot of different ways, and it's done by a lot of different people. And it just, I think it shifts us all. I also know I'm preaching to the choir. I think we have a very liberal, culturally experienced community. So I feel very fortunate to be able to show this. But I do know that people come and say, wow, I never thought of that before. And that's the shift of new thinking.
Well, I really think VSA holds up that outreach, belonging, and inclusion, and removes some of the isolation which might cause us to, to be suspicious or fearful maybe of others, and really bringing that forward and opening up that conversation, I think, is a very remarkable thing that VSA is doing. So
great, thank you.
Appreciate that.
Truman?
I have something to say that I'm going to admit it here, guys. I've never said this before, but I took dance when I was in the fourth grade. Tap, ballet, adagio, is that?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called, which is like gymnastics.
That I got to see.
Yeah.
You heard it here first on the ground briefly. Wow.
But so here it is. I mean, I can't believe I'm confessing this right here into the world here, but I did. And I found, I had a performance where I was the only boy, and there were 13 girls, if you can imagine. I was in heaven. No, I wasn't. I hated it. But what I was going to say about that is, that was a really interesting program for a little kid to be involved in. It really made a huge impact on my life. I turned out to be a pretty decent dancer, once I got into high school and all of that. But I had an appreciation for music, and I had an appreciation for art that I don't think I would have had in being a farm kid out in West Texas, unless my mother forced me to go do this, but anyway, I just wanted to encourage folks who might have children that might be a little reluctant, make them do it. Worth it. It's a good thing.
First of all, I want to say anyone can dance.
Anyone can dance.
Boys, girls, non-binary, and everyone should dance. I think that I know that I grew a lot from my experience in the arts as a kid and my dance and theater classes, and I see it in my students a lot too, even beyond just learning the tap moves or learning their lines. They're learning and growing in other ways too that are really big and really important.
I agree.
Yeah.
Truman, you're reminding me of a square dancing time when I was in junior high school and high school. But it was because the swim coach needed boys to get into square dancing. So I was under a fair amount of pressure. But
right.
I have to say I thoroughly enjoyed it and stuck with it for a couple of years. So,
sure.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. Well, hey, I do want to make sure it is Give Big, and we are asking our listeners to recognize the wonderful work that's being done and to help sustain it. What doors do you hope to open with the Give Big donations that you're receiving that otherwise might remain closed?
Well, I think one of the things that is great about Give Big is introducing us to new people. Do you know that we did a look on, and over COVID, over 400 real estate turned? So we got a lot of new people on the island, and a lot of new people have been walking through our doors. Like I said just yesterday, a woman, I call them COVID move-ins. They like moved in during, and they are now just finally getting out. Like they did not get the advantage of really knowing what a fabulous community we are because we were all locked down. So it's really giving us the opportunity to introduce ourselves to our new neighbors is one of the things. And I just don't think we can do enough for the education, right, Joy, is to continue to do the outreach to the schools and then also to bring people into our facilities. It will also have us bring more programs that we can offer for free for the kids. They get sponsored. The one I was just speaking about, we had some really generous sponsors to do that so that we can just pay the artists. You know, we're not a profit, right? So we're just wanting to make sure our artists are being paid and they are making a living. So that's kind of our goal, is to really support the arts in our community.
Yeah, just keeping those scholarships flowing and getting the artists, getting them work.
And as Joy said, you know, we're hiring local artists, and also it just as I show in the gallery we sell, and the artists get their commission, and mm-hmm. so basically it's just continuing to support people creating new works.
Ah, it's great. Yes, so supports the arts community here in Vashon as well. Of course it does. Yeah. Fantastic.
I have a real quick question. The VIP auction is coming
soon. It is.
Where is that going to be?
It's going to be in the atrium, in the big lobby. Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're going to, just like where ours is. Ours is the same, and then I think they're going to move into the hall as well, and then come back out, just like what we do ours. Okay. And in fact, thank you for bringing that up too, because that's what we've also become. We've become a place where we're having different organizations, even from Seattle, that want to come over and have their retreats here. Arts organizations, and plus our local organizations that we've had weddings at VCA.
Fantastic.
We've had memorials at VCA. So it's a beautiful facility that we're really doing a lot of things for our community. Yeah.
And if somebody wants to donate to you, what's the best way of doing that? Probably your website, I assume.
Yes, of course it's.
And what is your website?
We have the longest ever. You know, it's VashonCenterForTheArts.org. And oh, it's funny, when you type that thing out, that's our email. It's like, okay, like, you know those little boxes? Mine doesn't fit in the little boxes. You know, it's my name plus VashonCenterForTheArts.org. Yep, but yes, go to our website, VashonCenterForTheArts.org. Right. It's just spell it all out. So it's not a mystery.
That's great. Well, thank you both for being here and telling us about what's up with Vashon Center for the Arts.
Yeah. Well, thank you also. And I just wanted to say, you guys doing this for all the nonprofits on the island is just fabulous. And, you know, I say pick your passion, not your poison, but pick your passion, you know, with supporting any nonprofit. We have such great ones. You brought up VIP. We have the Heritage Museum. There's just so many great nonprofits on the island that it's really sweet that I think it's really community-minded that you all are providing this.
That's what we do, as our executive director, Kate Dowling, says. We are the hub of love.
The hub of love? Oh, I like that. The hub of love. Okay. Well, I say pick your passion. And that's what I say to anybody who's new to the community. I said, find out what you're in love with and go to that nonprofit. If you love history, that you know where to go. If you love radio, if you love art, you've got the... You find it, and I've had people say that they did that, and that's how they started really, infiltrating our community. Infiltrating our community.
That's good. All right. Thank you very, very much for joining us today. We are the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM. It's 11:33 here on May 2nd, the first day of Give Big. We're a nonprofit as well. So if anybody is interested in becoming a sustaining partner or making a one-time contribution or becoming a volunteer, you can go to the website. Our website is voiceofvashon.org, and you can donate there as well. And I want to thank everybody who has donated to all of the nonprofits on the island. And there's some seed money. the president of the board just donated
but who
cash.
To whom is he donating that? That's the question.
Is this, who's
Voice of Vashon.
Is this real money?
Yeah. You just ran it off this morning. Come on.
Why does it say the Reading Railroad on here? Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
So that's the way to participate and again, I wanted to thank everybody who has donated to all of our nonprofits on the island. We have an island full of wonderful nonprofits, so keep up the good work. And this is the time of the year to give again or up your giving a little, and we appreciate it. I think now we are. I'm going to take this $300. I'm going to put it in my pocket, so we don't lose it. I'll put that right there.
Yeah, I saw
the Brieflys are going to lunch, aren't we?
We are, actually. Yes, we are. That ought to just about cover it.
We're going to upgrade the restaurant.
That's right. That's right.
I brought a brown bag. I assume that's what we're doing. Yeah. Hey, next up, we've got Charlotte Tinkin of Vashon Repertory Theater, and Bruce Holman. You are going to present a few questions and engage in discussion here. Why don't you take over, Bruce?
Okay, will do. Hi, Charlotte. It's good to have
Bruce
you here.
And everybody. Yes. It's so good to be here. And I'm here with my trusty dog, Scout.
Scout. Ah. And Scout's a good dog.
She's a great dog.
Hey, Charlotte, let's maybe start. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got to Vashon and your backgrounds.
You know, I ask new people that I haven't met, I always, that's the first question I ask them. Mm-hmm. How'd you come to Vashon? So I blame Jeff and Cindy Hoyt, okay? It's their fault.
Okay, we can blame them.
I am originally from Charleston, South Carolina. That's my hometown. But I'm a theater gypsy. I've been working in theater for 35 years. And so after I got my degree in theater, I went to the University of Texas at Austin and did an MFA in theater in Austin, and then I just started taking jobs. And it's like being a musician. You just kind of have to go where the jobs are. And so I've lived all over this country pretty much.
Interesting small world. I did graduate school at the University of Texas,
you
Austin
did?
Yeah, 1967 to 71.
That's
we
amazing.
May have been there close time.
That is amazing. I rarely meet people that have ever been to Austin, gone to school there. I loved my time there. Austin
was
a great town.
It was interesting.
Really
Austin at that time was a fascinating place.
So I ended up here. I was living in New Orleans, Louisiana, teaching drama in the public schools in New Orleans. And I applied for and got a job offer in Little Rock, Arkansas, at a children's theater in Arkansas. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and she said, I have a friend who lives in Little Rock. His name's Jeff Hoyt. You should contact him. And so I got his number, I called him. I'd never been to Little Rock, I didn't know anything about Little Rock, Arkansas. And he and Cindy had been living there for a while, and he told me all about it and how great it was. Well, you know how Jeff is. And,
we do.
And we love him for
it. Oh, yeah. So, and he said, look, if you decide to take the job and move here, call me and we'll go have lunch. And so I took the job, moved to Little Rock, called Jeff, and we had lunch, and that was that. This was in 1984, I think. 84, 85.
The Dark Ages.
The Dark Ages.
Yes.
So I have known them since before their children were born. And they moved. So we became friends, hung out together. Then they left Little Rock and moved here to Seattle, and lived in Queen Anne for a while. And I would come visit, hang out. Kind of thought, wow, this is really great. And so I moved to Seattle. Actually, took a job at the Evergreen State College. I was running the performing arts program at Evergreen for 4 years. And so I took that job, moved up here. They stayed in Seattle. We hung out. Then they decided to move to Vashon. And I'd never been to Vashon, didn't know anything about it. So I would come out here to visit them in Vashon. And the rest is history. I just thought, this is a great place. I'm living here.
They really are to blame, aren't they?
Yeah, they're totally to blame. Totally. And I tell people that all the time. It's Jefferson's fault. So, yeah. That's why I'm here.
So how did you get involved with the theater community on Vashon and sort of take your professional life and bring it into your community life?
Well, I've been working in the Seattle theater community for a long time. I was the managing director at Bookit Repertory Theater for 7 or 8 years, and I've worked at Seattle Public Theater and Freehold Theater. I've kind of done the rounds. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I could not do the commute anymore. It really was. For me, it was like, it was taking like 4 hours a day out of my life in the car.
Yeah, it can wear you out.
Yeah. And I just thought, I'm not doing this anymore. And right after I decided to do that, COVID hit. And so everything shut down anyway. And so it was kind of great. So I was sitting here on the island in the year 2000 going, what am I going to do? So I thought, oh, I'll start my own theater company. I think I've lost my mind.
I was just going to say, that was right after you lost your mind.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah. Sounds like an Andy Rooney movie. Let's have a show.
Yeah. Dad's got a barn. Yeah. So I started this company, and we did a lot of the first 2 years was the two COVID years. And so we did everything streaming or on radio or online. And we used the Vashon Center for the Arts, which was great because nobody was going in there. And that went – I love the VCA. I'm not saying anything bad. They're fantastic. So we started doing that. And then as things began to open up, I thought, well, let's try doing stuff outdoors and see what happens. And so we started doing Shakespeare in the Park at Open Space and – it just kind of has grown into this thing.
I have to make a comment. My wife and I go down to Ashland, Oregon quite often for the Shakespeare Festival. And of course, they have much more than Shakespeare. Yeah. But we went to see The Tempest in the park.
Yeah.
And we both think that was probably one of the best performances of Shakespeare that we've ever seen. I mean, truly. You guys... Literally knocked it out of the park. I mean, it was sprites coming up from behind the trees, and I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. I
have to say that kudos. It was Dara Kennan. You know, he's directed the Shakespeare that I've done. I'm not a Shakespeare person, and it's Dara. Oh, I mean, he's brilliant.
It was wonderful.
And he could take Shakespeare and hone it down and not make it 3 hours long and still have the story there. And he's wonderful.
Just brilliant.
So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about the Repertory Theater. And I mean, it's an amazing group of people and sort of, I mean, what's driving it?
Well, one of the things that I saw on this island was that there are a lot of really, really talented people who live here and who have to go to Seattle to get paid work. And so I thought, well, why not give them an opportunity to do really great theater here on the island? And so that's kind of how it got started. And I just kind of started talking to people and saying, hey, would you want to be involved if this happened? And they said, yeah. So it kind of started that way. I really believe in using local people, local writers, local directors, local actors to do work. And there's so many talented people who live right here who we don't even know live here, you know? So that's kind of, for me, the passion was to use local people. And also, I'm a huge fan of community theater. I think community theater is so crucial and so important. And I love Drama Doc, and I've worked for Drama Doc. But I wanted to take it a step up and do things that were a little more cutting edge, things that I felt were that people were going to want to learn.
You've got a fantastic website.
Thank you.
And I really recommend anybody go to that website and just look at the, I can't remember if you call them performers or members or whatever it is.
All the people that have worked on it.
It's an amazing sort of collection of
Which
islanders.
Needs to be upgraded.
And you'll know them all. That's what's fascinating.
And what is the website, please?
It's VashonRepertoryTheater.org. Right. And it's R-E-P-E-R-T-O-R-Y. And it's theater with an R-E, not an E-R.
Not like the one down the road.
There are many ERs actually on the island. Yeah, so, that's an RE there.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I've always been taught that the ER is talking about the actual building itself, and that RE is talking about the
organization.
Theater, as it were.
Yes, yes. Thank
you. So, one of the things I loved about your website, I mean, do visit it, but you sort of your mission statement. I don't know what you don't call it that exactly, but yeah. You say you're here to create thought-provoking, intimate, story-driven theater.
Yeah,
could you talk about that? What does that mean?
I believe that the reason that theater has survived as long as it has is that if you're doing really great theater, you're telling a story, and you're trying to tell a story that maybe not everybody knows about. Or that maybe looks at life from a different point of view than what you look at, or tells someone else's version or side of an issue. And for me, that's why I do theater, to tell stories. I love intimacy. I love that people to feel like they are a part of whatever they're listening to and participating in. I can't stand these giant 2,000 seat theaters that, you know, you're way in the back and can't even hear. So it has to be, you know, something that I am attracted to, but that also is making a difference in the world in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I really know what you mean. I've been to like Fifth Out Seattle, you know, big concert hall type theaters. And then there was a small group in Gig Harbor, which probably had 40 seats, you know. And the experience is so dramatically different. Yeah, so it's wonderful to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I feel really strongly about that, that it's it's just really important that we do theater that is making a difference in the world.
Sure.
And helping people look at all points of view of an issue in one way.
Yeah, and that's another thing on the website. You have the statement about making a difference in our community and the world. Yeah. So it's locally focused, but it's also the broader world we live in. Yeah. And then you had a statement that says you're inclusive and breaking down barriers of race and gender. How do you do that?
Good question. Really good question. I think that as a white, privileged Southern woman, which I am, and I admit it, that it is really important that I pay attention to other voices, other races, other cultures, and try to understand the world from that point of view. And I think that theater can do that in a way that we're so divided in this country right now. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that it is at the point now where if you are a liberal or a Democrat and you have a Republican in the same room, you can't even talk to them. And we have to be able to talk to each other. If we're going to ever get through this, we have to talk to each other and at least try to listen to the point of view. So I think that is important that we continue to have those conversations. Well, and I think theater can do that.
What you see on the stage translates to your life.
Yes.
And if you can portray diversity and inclusion on the stage, you can translate it to your life.
Yeah.
To your
and people can relate life. To it better.
Absolutely.
And I think that makes a difference. Yeah. So.
So, Craig's question, if you guys are doing great work, just tell us a little bit about some of the things you've done and what's coming up in the next 6-12 months.
We just finished a huge production of Sweeney Todd, which was a show that I've been wanting to do all my life. It just about killed all of us that were involved.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. I did not realize, I've always known that Stephen Sondheim was a really amazing composer and writer, and I knew that whatever he did was complicated. This was incredibly complicated. Oh, I'm sorry. So it was an incredibly complicated show. And I'm so proud of it and so amazed that we survived and did it. And people loved it. And that was great. So after that was over, I decided we needed to take a little break. So I'm taking a break for the spring and the summer.
Right.
I have an opportunity to go to Japan this summer.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be directing a show in Japan for a school that, that works with students that haven't been able to complete Japanese high school. And if you know anything about Japan, the high school program there is incredibly rigorous and difficult, and not everybody can get through it. And if you don't get through it, you're losing face. So this is a school that takes these students that haven't been able to survive a Japanese high school and gets them an education. They get their diploma, and then they come over here to the United States and they go to college.
Wow, that's a really cool program.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so they have asked. I've known this program for a while and been involved in it. And they've asked me to come to Japan and direct there. So I'm going to be doing that this summer. We won't be doing a summer festival.
That's terrific.
Good. I mean, it's exciting.
And of course, you'll get to replenish your blood supply, right?
Yes.
After Sweeney Todd, you'll need
after
that,
Sweeney
right?
Todd, the blood supply totally needs to be replenished. But in the fall, we do have some things coming up.
Right.
I'm working with the Vashon Heritage Museum on a show called It's Vashon Isle, which I think you know very well, Bruce. Jeff Hoyt is starring in it, and I've directed all of the shows that Jeff has done, and so, of course, I'm going to be doing this one. So we're working on that in October, and it's a partnership with the Heritage Museum, and it'll be at the Vashon Center for the Arts. Then in December, I'm bringing in my wonderful friend Alan Fitzpatrick, who's a brilliant equity actor in Seattle, has worked on Broadway, and he's developed a one-man show of A Christmas Carol. And so he's going to tell the story of A Christmas Carol all on his own. And that'll be December 16th, and two performances at the Vashon Center for the Arts. And he's wonderful, and it's going to be great. In February, I'm planning to do a new play by a local playwright that I can't tell you about yet because it's not firmed up. But as soon as I can, I will. And then in March, in 2019, I think it was, I directed a piece about the words of Brian Doyle. Do you guys know who Brian Doyle was? He was a writer, lived in Portland, Oregon, died at the age of 56 of a brain hemorrhage. Brilliant, brilliant writer. Mike and Jerry Feinstein brought his words to me because Mike used to work with him. You guys don't know them? Do you know the Feinsteins?
Right. Yep. They helped put together the speaker series
at
BCA. Right. Yep.
And so we did a play about a reading of his essays that was so brilliant, and we only did two performances at the BCA, and they came to me and said, "Can we do this again? Because we've had so many people say, when are you doing this again?" So we're going to do it again. And Kat Eggleston does some music for it, and who is one of my dearest friends, and I adore her. And Kate O'Kane is in it, Jeannie Dougherty, David Milkey, I don't know whether you know David, and Paul Shapiro. And Paul, who used to live here on the island, lives in West Seattle. Yep.
Paul Shapiro was my neighbor.
I love Paul.
So I don't know if you would spend time at his home, but in summers, we would hear this amazing oratory coming through the trees. We literally live right next door, because Paul would bring the folks over, right, and that he was working with. It was pretty fantastic.
Oh, I just adore him. So he's going to come back to the island and do that, and that'll be in March. And it's a lovely, lovely piece. I mean, his writing is incredible.
That's
so
fantastic.
So I'm kind of changing things up so that we're not going to do a summer festival. I'm putting together a season of shows, and hopefully people will be able to buy season tickets and so that and plan ahead, which is something that I don't know whether people like to do anymore or not. I mean, it's a really... Yeah. I don't know, but we'll see.
It's worth trying. That's a great segue. So let me ask you, if people want to get involved with the Repertory Theater, and if they want to donate to you through GiveBig, what do they do?
You can go to our website, VashonRepertoryTheater.org. There's a big button that says donate. And you click on that, and then you can put some money in it. I have really great news. I mean, I've been putting out information that we had a $2,000 challenge match to donors pledged $1,000 each, and that $2,000 got matched 2 days ago.
Yay! Congratulations.
With a single donation, which I was like, oh this is great.
Wow.
So I'm challenging more people, because we also just got a wonderful grant from For Culture for the season for $3,000, and I would love to get that matched. So now we're doing a $3,000 match.
Fantastic. Great. So,
and I want to thank For Culture. They have been so supportive of the work that I've done.
Right.
They're pretty wonderful.
So the website again is?
VashonRepertoryTheater.org. Click donate.
Truman.
I'm going to have to ask you this offline, but I want you to think about this question. How do you direct a play, and what effect do you personally have on the outcome of the play versus the actors who are in the play? I mean, this is something that's fascinated me for a long time. I really am curious about that.
That's a whole long conversation.
I know that. I know that. I was going to say, we have 4 minutes, and there's not a chance that we can talk
Charlotte,
about that.
We need to have you come back as a briefly guest in a month or so, and Truman
to.
Can ask.
Oh, I yes, would
that,
love to.
But, that you know, so truly, fun. Truly, that has been something that's fascinated me for a long time.
And, it's my passion.
I know.
I'll talk a long time about it.
Okay, good.
All right. Fantastic.
Well, thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate
thank
you coming.
You,
yeah,
guys, this is so good. I know that they said, the wonderful VCA people said thank you for doing this, but I just want to thank you for doing this. Because
absolutely.
It makes such a difference to all of the nonprofits on this island. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of them.
You are very, very welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we are the hub of love.
Yes, you are the hub of love. And Scout says thank you, too. That's Scout's over there talking to Captain Joe.
Yeah. All right. It is 11:56, and Charlotte, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We only have a couple of minutes, actually. I'll ask our fellow Brieflies a question. Is Joe Biden too old to run for POTUS, and should somebody else jump in the ring to oppose him? Thoughts? That's enough time. No.
Yes.
Am I hearing yes?
Well, Joe and I are about 4 months apart in age.
Yeah.
And so I would not want to do what he does. And he's a great guy, and he's the kind of leadership we need. But I worry about whether he's got 4 more years in him and whether he'll survive it and whether we'll survive it. But I don't see anybody with the skills and the persona and sort of the gravitas that he has out there. And so
what about Gavin Newsom?
Gavin Newsom's interesting. He's from California.
Which could count against him in the heartland.
I'm not so sure that's a good choice.
Even in California, plus the other 49 states, Gavin Newsom, I really respect him, and I think he's done an incredible job managing California in a time of division. But at the same time, is he electable on a national basis? That's the question.
Yeah, I see that Joe has a job to do. He's already done a great job, in my opinion. He has a job to do to make sure that we can transition to a new group of national leaders. And so he's going to have, in my opinion, I hope he has another 4 years to make sure to do that. I think he's already doing that, and we see evidence of people emerging into more responsibilities and other roles. But, you know, I think Joe's going to get on that Peloton bike, you know, 3-5 times a week. He's going to keep himself going. If you listen into the correspondence dinner last night, he didn't miss a beat on that.
No, so, he was very sharp.
Yeah, and, you know, the man comes from a history of overcoming stuttering. There's so many challenges that he's been able to put behind him. And his perspective and his history and his knowledge and his connections are all something I think the country really does need. So that's where I'm at. And I live on a very liberal island, and people would love to see, you know, a younger, more vigorous person in the job. But I think right now where we're at, Joe's going to be the right one to get us through this.
I'm going to give you the last word, or I'm going to give Joe the last word over there, the Captain Joe, who I can hear talking in the background. Yeah. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the voice of Vashon, the hub of love. Every year during Give Big Days, we turn over the radio station to dozens of interviews with all of the island nonprofits. While they are pitching for your support, make the Hub of Love even more special by donating at voiceofvashon.org/givebig. So I want to thank all of you for listening in. Hey, Bruce, who we got coming in next week?
We've got some folks from Quartermaster Yacht Club coming in next week. This is the 75th anniversary of the formation of Quartermaster Yacht Club. And so they're going to talk a little bit about what they do for the community, the way they were instrumental in getting the harbor cleaned up back in the 1950s when the club was formed, 1948. And then the variety of outreach they do, the sailing program. I mean, there's just lots of things that the Yacht Club does in the community that most of us don't know about. So,
I'll be looking forward to hearing about that.
The name of the sailing program, but that can wait until next week.
It will have to. Captain Joe's going to be up right now. He'll be interviewing Allison Shirk. No, we don't. We have a change of plans. Once again, somebody changed this on me. Byrne Design Lab. Right. Who we've interviewed in the past. The Brown Briefly. It's a great group. I'm getting notes written to me here. Oh, okay. Allison Shirk and Vashon events will be next week. Tomorrow, not next week. All right. For Lynn-Ann, Joy at VCA, Charlotte at VRT, Truman, Kevin, Bruce, and me, Craig, of Voice of Vashon, the Hub of Love, we hope you will join us next Tuesday for the next edition of the Brown Briefly.